This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices. A deadly choice is a healthy choice.
You're tuned to Deadly Choices Radio with your host, Sinead Clements.
Yes, that's right, you mob. My name is Sinead Clements and I'm a proud Kalkadoomba and Jitterbal woman from far north Queensland. I'd like to acknowledge and pay my respects to the traditional custodians of the land of which we're broadcasting from today. You're listening to the Deadly Choices radio show on 98.9 FM for the best country. So welcome to our weekly show dedicated towards mob making deadly choices. Remember, making a deadly choice is all about eating healthy, remaining active in both body, mind and spirit, ensuring you keep up to date with them 715 health checks, resisting any temptation to take up smoking or taking the right steps to quit smoking for you and your mob. So in the studio today, I'm joined by Kimberly Appo, one of our Deadly Kindies team members, and Tracy Thompson, a Deadly Choices team member. And later we'll hear from one of our ambassadors, our Deadly Choices ambassadors, Brenton Bowen, check out what he's up to these days. And also we'll call in to check out Dr. Jonathan, who will be giving us a bit of a COVID-19 update. So Kimberly, let me know where you're from, where you grew up, who your mob is and what your role is.
Yes, my mob is Goreng Goreng up in the Bundaberg Gladstone region. I grew up in Victoria in a little town called Robin Vale, but moved back up to home to be closer to country. So yeah, my role in Deadly Kindies is as an early childhood officer.
And Tracy, your mob, where you're from and what you do?
Yep, so born and bred in Brisbane. Father's Aboriginal, he comes from Kempsey, New South Wales, so the Dungati tribe, but Queenslander through and through here. I'm in the Deadly Choices Partnership Ambassador team as well.
Deadly. Now, Kimberly, it was an interesting year for everyone, but tell me what 2020 was like for you.
Yeah, so 2020 didn't really slow me down. I was working in early childhood at the time, so we stayed open right throughout COVID, making sure that, you know, all those families who had to work, all those healthcare workers and whatnot, so that all their children had a safe space to come during COVID.
Yeah, it's interesting. We always talk about the essential workers staying on board, but I guess you were the support to the essential workers too. So what was it like engaging with families at that time?
Yeah, it was interesting. So there was a lot of the unknown and a lot of change. So a lot of policies that were brought in where, you know, sometimes families dropped off at the door and sometimes we didn't see them face to face, or, you know, even temperature checks. So there was a lot of change happening within the centres to make sure that they were safe spaces for families to come, and there were a lot of restrictions to make sure the children were safe as well.
Deadly. Now, what got you into childcare?
I guess coming from a big mob.
Yeah, right. We all childcare when we first, by the time we were, 10, 11?
Yeah, so childcare started well before my career did. Just coming from a big mob, having a lot of nieces and nephews, a lot of cousins, it gave me that passion to look after children. But it wasn't until I was well into my career of early childhood that I started to understand the importance of early education for mob, and that all became such a big passion of mine.
Yeah,
to try and help mob into early childhood, but being in the mainstream early education, that was a little bit challenging, which led me to Deadly Kindies.
Absolutely, and that's why we're here now. Tracy, how was 2020 like for you? You weren't in Brisbane.
No.
So what were you up to?
So I was in Darwin. So I was up there working within the medical service up there, Danila Dorba. So I was doing a bit of Deadly Choices stuff as well in the schools and the community. So, yeah, a bit different. We weren't sort of affected by COVID up there as to what Brisbane was. So, yeah, very hot 2020 for me.
Yeah, deadly. Now, we've got some great stuff coming up. You yourself, you're a former women's rugby league Jillaroo, and we've got some exciting stuff. So expansion of the women's game. We've got the women's state of origin this Friday, Sunny Coast. I think there's still tickets available. So if you've got nothing to do on Friday night, head over there. And then we've had game one, Origin. You said you're self-proclaimed proud Queenslander. But what is the exciting part about this time of year with rugby league for you?
Oh, I guess, you know, obviously the rivalry between Queensland and New South Wales is always there. And to me, you know, it's one of the best games to watch over the year. So everyone gets a bit pumped up and you know, I guess especially with the women's comp as well, how that's expanding as well. And, you know, I just think there's so much talent out there to be able to showcase it, especially on the Sunny Coast on Friday night is going to be amazing. But I guess, you know, coming the NRLW is going to be exciting times ahead for them as well, because, you know, it's, to me, from back in the day to now, women's rugby league is just growing leaps and bounds. So especially our young ones, watching all the opportunities for them coming through, setting that pathway for them, because, you know, they didn't have the pathway back in the day for our little ones, but there's so much opportunity now for our young ones. You know, that's what I'm excited and can't wait to see.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, as we've had our yarns about your generation of Errol footy players, you know, having to stay at hostels for World Cups and selling cars just to get to where you needed to get the flight over. Mm. And, you know, we have the likes of Tani Norris coaching. Mm. She's the Burley Bears coach, and now she's coaching the Women's Queensland team, and Kylie Hilder coaching the New South Wales team. What's it like to see... I guess, see the girls still be a part of the game, but also I think it's time that we still pay a bit more homage to the girls who started what we have today.
Oh, yeah, and that's a big congratulations to Tani and to Kylie as well. I guess I've played a lot of test matches with Tani over the years, and I actually was with her just recently, I think like last week or something like that, and it was great to actually, you know, congratulate her and talk to her about it. And I remember her telling me when they first went into camp or first, you know, had to get together as a team, and she's just seeing everyone get handed so much gear, where back in the day, like, we had to pay for all that gear. So to see Tani and what she's done over the years to be, I guess, rewarded to be the Queensland coach is inspirational. And, you know, she can mentor these young girls, because I tell you what, Tani is one of the best second row of locks forwards going around in the day. So, yeah, she's got so much knowledge and experience that she can really give back to our young girls.
I want to see more women in the coaching roles.
Yeah.
I want to see especially your era, and I think... For me, it was so exciting to play with Bo Dela Cruz, and I think she needs to be in a coaching capacity at some stage. It's a lot of knowledge kind of not going to waste, but not being put to use as much as it should be. And
definitely, yeah.
I also think for my generation and I see the 18, 19-year-olds coming through now, we got to show a bit more gratitude and appreciation for all this, like you said, all the uniforms and stuff we have now, the kits, they're deadly. But, you know, the people, I think we don't appreciate them as much as we could if we knew the stories of the women who came before us and had to do all the hard yards and breaking down the stigma of women shouldn't be playing footy and contact sports and all that sort of stuff. So it's exciting to see where the game's going. Three new teams: Newcastle Knights, Parramatta Eels, and the Gold Coast Titans. So congratulations to them clubs who are putting their hands up and backing women's footy. And I think it's a step towards kind of, I guess, equality within sports. So it's exciting to see. But Tracy, what's your prediction for the Origin this Sunday? It's gonna, you know, who knows? Like after 50-6,
I turned it off at halftime. So
tough times, wasn't it?
Look, let's just hope it's a fair and even game, and hopefully Queensland get up so we can make it, you know, 1-1, and it's not a whitewash,
right? It's going to be interesting. We've got a few new faces. There's a lot of talk around Reece Walsh coming in, the young gun. But I think, and I think we saw it with Kaelin Ponga, is that that there's no fear almost, mm-hmm. like it's that youthful energy to just play footy and hopefully mm-hmm. doesn't get kind of overwhelmed by the moment, mm-hmm. by the night. And yeah, I'm excited to see it. Should be, look, fingers crossed it's a good game.
Yeah, let's hope.
Let's hope for that. I think that's the best case yes. scenario. Mm-hmm. But we've also got the Olympics coming up soon. I think it's almost about a month away. So the 23rd of July to Sunday the 8th of August. Kimberly, do you watch the Olympics? Are you I always just keep the TV running so I can turn it on and watch random sports and just kind of get all the way into it.
Yeah, so yeah, no, I do get into the Olympics a little bit. More so I think the sprints.
Yeah,
sprints are
right?
probably my favorite. As well as a bit of basketball and swimming. So yeah, I think the last Olympics I was pretty taken back by how they go with the basketball. Mm-hmm. So it was pretty interesting.
Well, I mean, New South America, they're the basketball, I guess.
They're the
big guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But always, you know, Patty Mills, shout out to Patty, who's I saw doing a bit of a war cry, practicing his war cry the other night for the Olympics.
I did see that.
Which is
gonna
be fun.
That was deadly. That was deadly.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll be able to see a bit of culture there too, I guess, with the basketball. But also I saw the other day a young woman, I think she's only 21 years old, Shakari Richardson, USA, from the USA, break the record for women's sprints.
So I was just watching that.
10.64 seconds. And I think that's breaking Flojo's record too. So
wasn't she a legend?
Oh, mate, she's one of my favourite yeah. athletes. I think just... Who runs like that with that hair and the nails? And if you don't know who Flojo is, go do your research because she
YouTuber.
Was right. She was a fun character to watch. She just Shakari also has got the. I think she had this big flaming kind of red, yellowy hair and the nails too. So similar to Flojo's kind of vibes, but. I think she also, one of the crazy things about her is she, in her post-race interview, she had lost her biological mum about a week ago and she, you know, she gives full credit to her grandmother who looked after and raised her, and I don't know how you pull off a run like that after a week of such a...
takes a strong woman.
Yeah, and she's only 21 and she's she's vocal and loud, so it's exciting to see those. But also I couldn't do a backflip to save myself, but I'm really excited to see Simone Biles come through. She's a gymnast unlike any other, and she does stuff that a lot of men can't even do on the mat. So it's exciting to see her and even tennis too, Naomi Osaka. So she's been in the limelight, just talking about what media does to athletes and how it can kind of have that mental strain, just post-games interviews. And, you know, you've just gone through a tough loss that you trained for months and months for, and then you have to answer a bunch of questions. So it's not always easy for them, but it's going to be an exciting time. We didn't get to see the Olympics last year, but we'll also have Taliqua Clancy, one of our beach volleyball ambassadors, our Deadly Choices ambassador. So shout out to Taliqua. I'm sure we'll hear from her soon before she takes off to Tokyo. We'll also have Brendan Wakeling there, who's competing in weightlifting. We'll also have a talk to one of our Paralympians, Tarita Blake, too. So tune in the coming weeks. So we'll have some awesome yarns coming up.
Yeah, we've also got Janice Blackman there.
Janice Blackman's already there, my sis. She's softball. So I'm excited to see her rip in, too. I know she's got an award of Batter of the Year at one stage there too last year or this year. So it's going to be...
Someone said she presented some Indigenous stuff to someone.
I think they had it in a jersey.
So that was good to see as well. Good on her.
Yeah, she's always been a great ambassador of our program, and she's also done a few of our Deadly Kindies events. She's a single mum to a young fella, Jaden, which is awesome to see at our events. Yeah. But speaking of events, we have a Little Deadlies Olympic Day out coming up. So, Kimberly, tell us a bit about the Deadly Kindies program.
So the Deadly Kindies program is a program that promotes kindy as a deadly choice for our mob. So for our young ones who are 3.5 to 5 who are eligible for kindy. So what we're trying to do is just do as many events as possible, as many promotions as possible, to make sure communities and families, mob, are aware of what kindy has to offer, and linking them in with our medical clinics to make sure that they are aware of the benefits that our medical clinics have to offer as well.
Yeah, so, you know, I've seen, I've had the pleasure of actually working with Deadly Kindies on their comms and marketing point of the contact that we have with community. And it's always just been, Kindies obviously changed since we were young. Mm-hmm. Now it's a bit more, I don't know what you could say, like advanced at the stages yes. of what they their expectations of what our little ones need to know before going into grade one.
Yes, yes. So, you know, Kindies obviously very play-based. So a lot of it's very play-based with the learning of what children are learning these days. So it's based on their interests. But in that, when they go to kindergarten and they are playing, there is so much they are learning for school. So mm-hmm. getting them school ready, you know, social, emotional, having that whole holistic approach to make sure that those children are ready for school.
And I think one of the things that I found is astounding in one of the researches I've read is how quick our little ones can fall behind in speech, something as simple as just speaking. And as well as, you know, mob at home might speak differently to mainstream. I know I've always... You know, you say deadly and not everyone understands what you're talking about. They're like, what do you mean deadly kindies? Is that dangerous?
Yeah.
But I was like, no, that means you're mad, you're deadly. Yeah. Like, it's awesome, it's good.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, that's true. Like, I've been speaking and working alongside a lot of childcare centres up in the Moreton region and a lot of the speech pathologists as well who have said that the speech delay is something that's very common among our jargems. So... One thing that is a part of our program is going into our medical clinics, wherever you are, going into the medical clinics and getting a 715 health check. Mm-hmm. And within that health check, if you have any concerns or if you're, you know, any mob have any concerns with their children, whether it be speech, whether it be, you know, fine motor, gross motor, whatever it is, they can let their GP know and be referred to the right pathway to help them along their way. So when they do get to school, they've already started that journey rather than getting to school and then having to go through that process while they're making that huge transition into school. Because it is a big transition going from either kindergarten to school,
yeah.
you know, not going to kindergarten and going to school. It's a very big transition.
I remember growing up, I always heard that in certain communities when they'd go swimming, some of the water holes weren't too clean and it made like cause an infection in their ears and their binners and then they'd go to school and the teacher thought they weren't listening but yep. really they just couldn't hear.
Yes.
So it's like things like that you can pick up right during
yeah,
that process.
Yeah, definitely. And especially now like a lot of our UE team members, they're out in a lot of the childcare centres, the C&K childcare centres, and they're working alongside our mob where they're providing audiology and having those hearing checks done to make sure if the mob are having issues with their hearing that they're getting onto it quickly.
Absolutely. So yeah, if you're just tuning in to 98.9, I'm here with Kimberly Appo, one of our Deadly Kindies team members, and we've got an event that's coming up soon. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so we have the Little Deadlies Mini Olympic Day Out. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's an event happening in Albion.
Yes.
Where we're going to have traditional games, we're going to have prizes to be given, we'll have our stalls there. I think we're having a lot of our member services come as well, where, you know, there's going to be a lot of information, a lot of fun to be had. You know, there'll be the member service there so we can provide that information and have a very big perspective of what our program is about so we can link you in with those member services, whether it be MAT6 or AT6, to let you know that these are the things that they have to offer and, you know, to have familiar faces mm-hmm. out in the community events as well. So when you do go into those clinics, then you can say, oh, I saw this mob out at the Deadly Kindies event. So you feel safe going into those clinics as well. But yeah, we'll have some traditional games and have a lot of fun to be had out there. So it'll be good.
Yeah. You know, there's always ambassadors around. There's the new Deadly Choices Olympic shirt, 715 health check shirt. So if you haven't had your health check, head to your local Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander medical community controlled clinic and get your 715, check out the health shirt. But also if you want your jargum to be involved, they've got to be up to date with their 715 health check. So there'll be a healthy lunch there. So you can register at our Deadly Kindies Facebook page. page, or yeah, inquire through our Deadly Choices Facebook page as well. It runs from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. So, you know, if you want a fun and easy way to tire out your jarjum during the school holidays, definitely get on board. That's at the Albion Indoor Centre. So yeah. That's going to be a fun day. It's going to be, I think, for actually, if your bub is 2 to 8 years old, you can get involved, as well as, you know, we don't say no to any of the brothers and sisters who are coming in and having a hit, and I think there'll be some awesome games there. But tell me, there's a kindy kit, right? That's also involved with the program. Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, so as an incentive to try and get as many of our jarjums into kindy, when you get your 715 health check, you're also entitled to this kindy kit. The kindy kit is a bag itself. It has a hat, a water bottle, a cot sheet, a blanket, lunchbox, library bag, water bottle, and also our Deadly Kindy shirt. That's just a very wonderful incentive to make sure that, you know, you've got a kit there that you don't have to worry about. You can send that along with your jarjum to their first day of kindy or childcare, and that's one less worry you've got to worry about.
Right, and that, all those costs can add up, I think.
Yes.
It just puts a bit of a bigger barrier, as well as we've got the Deadly Choices birth certificates. So bub needs a birth certificate to be enrolled in any kind of school. Kindies, eventually down the tracks, get a license and whatnot. So you can check out that on www.deadlychoices.com.au that you can and then apply through your local clinic. But in saying that, I remember I used to drop my nephew off at kindy, and he, all them kids, I swear, like, it made him the most popular kid in the playground. Like, he just thought he was that flash cruising around with his Deadly Kindy shirt. So, yeah, if you want your little one to be one of the popular kids, and even I would see other kids come up and ask, how do I get one of those, or what's that, or why is he wearing that shirt? It's fun to see. But, you know, you're a parent yourself, Kimberly. So how important is it? And I guess, what is it like to see your little one involved with all the other kids in the community? Because, you know, I hate saying, but back in my day, you know, we just run around you just cruise around your neighborhood and find some kids to hang out with and just, you know, play whatever you're playing, play some backyard footy and that sort of stuff. But these days it's a bit different, and it's still so important we get kids connecting with other kids, especially other kids in the community, and it does build those social skills, right?
Yeah, you're definitely right. Times have changed. There's no more running around the streets anymore. but yeah, my little one is 2 soon, and he's been in early education since he was 6 months old, because I went back to work in early education, so he just come along with me for the ride. But in saying that, like, you know, I've been in early childhood for 8.5 years, and to see the change that has happened in that 8.5 years, right now, from a mother's perspective, you know, you can see he's just flourishing, because he does have that social advantage of going in and socialising with not only just those children, but other adults as well.
Yeah.
You know, and those adults being, you know, educators, and I guess they're, how would you say it? They're, I don't even
like know. Like, you know, I just think that, that social skill is just, it goes through the roof, but it's also the confidence building in our little ones. And I know you can head to our Facebook page to check out some of our play groups. I know, Kimberly, you've done a play group there too. We do a few lives there, and we've done them throughout the duration of last year when everything went online. But just to see young ones kind of gravitate towards books, and to see these books being written about kids of all different shades, shapes, sizes, and it's just like helping our little ones to accept people for who they are.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes, you know, they always say no one's born racist or anything like that, and we get conditioned as we get older. But it's exciting to see the next generation be so open-minded about all people from all different backgrounds, and who, you know, just accepting that we're all different.
Yeah, and definitely in early education you see that. You walk in and, you know, they're so multicultured, where, you know, the educators are multicultured, the children are multicultured. So when my son goes, he's learning all of those backgrounds, and he's interacting with all of those children, And as you said, no one's born a racist. So yeah. Having that multiculturalism in those settings, it just, for the next generation, it just enriches them with all of this empowerment to be the best person that they can be, the, you know, open-minded, respectful in socializing with their friends and with mob as well. And just, you know, having those relationships with their educators who are multicultural, so they can, you know, they can leave that setting when they've finished kindy and they can say, you know, I was a part of this event where it celebrated, or say NAIDOC week, or, you know, Reconciliation week, you know, I was a part of that and this is what I learned. So they can go ahead and they can then again break down those stereotypes and, you know, diminish all of that as our generations go on because they have been a part of all of those events and all of that culture being spread throughout that early education.
Mm. I've actually had someone who I went to high school with, she's a non-Indigenous mother. Her son came home with a book called Walkabout, and it was an Indigenous book, you know, with Indigenous characters, and she said her son just loves it and she wanted to learn more about it. So she asked me, and she wanted, obviously, her child has inspired her to learn more about the First Nations culture within the country that, you know, she calls home, which I just thought was so interesting that, you know, our little ones are really 6 years old, 5 years old, driving some of these conversations that we as adults and as First Nations people always, you need to learn about the country that you live on. You know, we're always encouraging these narratives, but our little ones can sometimes break through for us so much better.
Yeah, and I think they're going to be, our next generation is going to be the ones who really drive, you know, all of that empowerment. I get mums, non-Indigenous mums, messaging me about their children in childcare, that they're learning their local language. They're learning the Yuggera language, and they're coming home and they're, you know, they're pointing out, oh, that's this bird and this is the word you can say for that bird. Yep. And just really, you know, when you go out in community and you talk to non-Indigenous people and you talk to them about mob, there's always that perspective that they have.
Mm-hmm.
They, when you talk about culture, they have a completely different perspective to what our culture actually is. But these Jajams, they're bringing through and learning about actual culture and, you know, learning about language, and they're breaking those stereotypes by coming through and saying, oh, you know, mum or dad, or bringing home all this knowledge that's about culture and not stereotype. And absolutely, I think that's such an important thing for our future.
You know, I read somewhere, like, it must have been a meme online where it was had a bunch of brands, symbols. So, like, everyone knows what a Nike symbol looks like. But then it had a bunch of birds and, like, can you name them? And I was like, no, like, I can't name any of them. What the heck? So, yeah, it was, it's a bit of a eye-opener for me. But it's, I love to hear that story that, we have our little ones learning about nature and doing it through First Nations culture as well. So if you want to learn more about the Deadly Kindies program, you can head to www.deadlykindies.com.au, or you can head to our Facebook page or the Deadly Choices Facebook page and inquire there. But yeah, keep an eye out for the event on the 7th of July. Registrations are open. So, check out, message the Facebook page and see how you can register your little one and come along for some. I'm sure there'll be some awesome ambassadors there. But thank you for coming and having yarn today, Kimberly. But also we have more events coming up. There's so many more events on the table here now that we're allowed to do things here in Brisbane in 2021. But Tracy, what event is coming up for Deadly Choices?
So we've got the Murray Netball Carnival coming up on Friday the 9th and Saturday the 10th of July at Nissan Arena. So we've got age divisions available. So we've got juniors 6 to 12 years mixed competing on the Friday, and then we've got cadets 13 to 15 years, females only, competing Friday and Saturday, and then opens 16 years and over, females are only competing on Saturday.
Deadly. Now we'll have, what will be provided on these days?
The uniforms provided, we'll have lunch, but we'll also have some, obviously we've got the partnership with
QUT, hey, that was QUT. Where there's definitely a. reason why I know is because I'm a old QUT head. I love my. That's where I got my degree, and I shout out to QUT for. For coming to step into the table with Deadly Choices, that partnership there, and also I think it for me. I never stepped onto a university campus until I was week one, until O week, you know, orientation. So what is that like to open the eyes to our mob for opportunities within universities?
Oh, look, I think it's an amazing opportunity. It's a great way to engage our mob through sport and also introduce them to education opportunities like university, because I know sport is a massive tool within our mob, but I guess, you know, sport, you know, can't take us like through the future. We could get injuries and all that, so we need that education and that employment to fall back on. So obviously having the partnership there and having an Indigenous pathway there sets them up for life. We've got health education, two of the main social determinants of our people, so any way in which we are able to benefit our young ones to provide opportunities to be healthy and active. And then also reinforcing that importance of good education as well. So having QUT as a partnership, to me, especially for our young girls, is a great pathway for their future.
And I always, there's always opportunities and pathways for our young fellas to go through footy and other sports. But it's exciting to see netball be a real... For me, I remember doing netball back in North Queensland. I came down, we did Schoolgirls Indigenous Netball a few years ago, and I still remember some of the girls that I played with. I still stayed connected and friends with some of the girls that I played with back then, and that was a fair few years ago now. And as well as, you know, I stayed on board and helped out with coaching, and these were 14, 15-year-olds. Now they're adults, and they're like, don't I know you from somewhere? I was like, yeah, I remember when you were 14 and stepping on the netball courts. I was always telling you, stop moving them feet.
Yeah.
But no, it's exciting to see, and the friendships you make, the connections you make. I remember I was on the Gold Coast, and I remember there was one sister there that we became friends, and she went to QUT, and I lived on the Gold Coast. And it was either, do I go to Griffith on Gold Coast, it's 15 minutes down the road, or do I travel to QUT all the way in Brisbane because I know one person?
Yeah.
Guess what I chose? QUT, as I said before, obviously. But like, it's a 3-hour round trip.
Yeah.
And I rather do that because I knew one familiar face than go 15 minutes down the road. So it just speaks to those connections you make. And you know, I've always talked about this, when you're on a team with mob, there's you don't need to know each other. Mm. There's just that connection where you can find each other on the court or the sporting field. So it's about developing new skills as well as new friendships and new connections. But in order to be involved in any of our events, you have to be up to date with your 715 health check. And that's exactly what we do here, is that preventative health, making sure our mob are looking after themselves and thinking about their health before it becomes a big issue in their lives. And if we can start doing that with our teenagers, with our under 13s, under 15 girls and 16 and opens, women's, looking after their health, that's so important. So registrations for that event, the Murray Netball Carnival, closes this Friday, 25th of June. You can check out the Deadly Choices events page at www.deadlychoices.com.au, or even just give our Facebook page a message. But get in quick and get your get yourself or your team registered and come along to a really awesome day, awesome couple of days. But thank you, Tracy and Kimberly, for coming on today. Before I let yous go, I want to know what your deadly choice is. I've been saying my deadly choice for a while now is just drinking more water. And I have been so bad. I think I drink more coffee than water, which is so bad.
You'll get there.
I know. It's cold months. It's winter time. I'm trying to go to my F45 challenges, and I'm struggle. It's real struggle straight up in here. But last couple of days, I have been actually better with the water. But Kimberly, what's your deadly choice that you're making right now?
I think my biggest daily choice is my diet.
Yeah.
So growing up, you know, I didn't have much education, knowledge around healthy eating, which led to a quite a bad relationship with food. So over the last couple of months, I've been focusing on eating deadlier portions, like making sure that my portions are healthy, making sure that my options are healthy, staying away from any Maccas and KFC, as delicious as it is, you know, just making sure that, and, you know, being that role model for my son as well. If I'm eating something that's not a deadly choice, he's going to want to eat that too, and just got to make sure that I'm making deadly choices for myself so he can make deadly choices for himself as he gets bigger too.
Yeah, right. I know I used to just be like, oh my God, 5 hours have passed and I haven't ate. Like, I just would forget.
Yeah.
And then I would just overeat whenever I did get a meal. And I'm just like, this isn't working. It's not right. And like you said, that relationship with food is so, it is a relationship. And if you're not treating it right, you know, obviously it's not going to treat you right.
Yeah.
So you are what you eat. And we always talk about eating the right things. And Good Quick Tucker is one of our podcasts on our Deadly Choices Facebook page. So if you're looking for, if you're heading away from the bully beef and looking to more towards something a bit more nutritious, I guess you can head to our Facebook page and check out our Good Quick Tucker podcast. There's some awesome recipes in there. But Tracy, before I let you go, what is your deadly choice you're making right now?
I guess right now is back at the gym. So I'm back at the gym. I get there around 3:30 in the morning. So
3:30.
I like to get there nice and early because it sets myself up for the day.
Win the morning, win the day. But I think there's that.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. When I miss a day of training, I feel it. I'm a bit lethargic and I'm not as, I guess, alert. So, yeah, when I've had my gym session, definitely I'm on my way pumping, ready to go.
What's the, is it a machine? What's your favourite machine in the gym?
Oh, gee. I just, 'cause the free weights, I guess.
Yeah.
I like the free weights, but... Yeah, it's a struggle. Like at 3:30 in the morning, it's freezing where I'm staying also.
No sleeping.
Past Ipswich Way, it's extra cold out there. So, yeah, but, yeah, I love it. It helps me and it's the best form of mental health as well.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I don't think a lot of people don't realise that a good healthy diet and some exercise does wonders for your mental health.
Oh. It's never one thing. Like it's got to be a combination of more than you know, a few things. I think when you're looking after your mental health, and you know, they always say 80% of your health is diet, and fitness is what you eat, what you fuel your body with. We are always here just encouraging mom to think about their lifestyle and try and fit healthier, I guess, habits within what you're already doing. It's so important. But anyway, thank you guys for coming on today. I really appreciate it. And we'll head to a song now and then we'll come right back.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Interstate's jammed with gunners like me, afraid of coming in last. But somewhere in the race we run, we're coming undone when days go by. I can feel it flying like a hand out the window in the wind. The cars go by, yeah, it's all we've been given. So you better start living right now. Just the other night, I watched the world flash by. Headlights, taillights, running through a river of neon signs. But somewhere in the rush, I felt we're losing ourselves. And days go by. We'll be right back. yes it does. We talk about forever, but we've only got today. And the days go by, I can feel them flying like a hand out the window as the cars go by. It's all we've been given, so you better start living. You better start living, better start living right now. As days go by, I can feel it flying like a hand out the window in the wind. The cars go by, it's all we've been given, so you better start living right now. As days go by, come on. Yeah, these days go by, come on. So take them by the hand, yours and mine. Take them by the hand, live your life. Take them by the hand, don't let them all fly by. Come on, come on now. Yeah, come on.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. With your host, Sinead Clements.
All right, you mob, we're back after that banger at 98.9 FM for the best country, and this is the Deadly Choices Radio Show, and I'm Shanae, the host, and right now I've got one of our awesome Deadly Choices ambassadors, Brenton Bowen, who also was an NRL rugby league player. How you going, Brenton?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Shanae. How are you?
Good, thanks. Before we go ahead, where are you from? Where are we from, Brenton? Who's your mob, and what do you do at Deadly Choices?
Yeah, cool. So I'm from Hopewell, so it's far north Queensland, just past Cairns. So my mob is the Goopy Imager people, obviously from Hopewell, and living in Brisbane now and working with Deadly Choices as a Deadly Choices ambassador and also in the partnerships team. So
yeah, so with, I guess, with Origin, you know, in the middle of Origin, exciting time for footy. We've got also the Women's Origin this Friday, I believe.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
So we'll have another ambassador there as well, won't we?
Yeah, that's right. So we've got two ambassadors playing in the Women's set of Origin. So obviously you've got...
there's Tamika Upton there. Tamika, I know she's burnt me a few times on the footy field. Yeah. She's got speed for days. And Talisha Harden, she's one of the original, I guess, ambassadors we've had on for a while now. It's going to be exciting to see the women's game go head-to-head there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's always a good opportunity for the women's to obviously play, you know, and it's getting bigger and bigger each year, which is, which is really good for women's rugby league, and not just rugby league, but, you know, women in general. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Just women in sports is have more opportunities to get seen and also, you know, get the results out of, you know, some of the women train all year round, and they obviously, you know, strive to put on that blue or maroon jersey and get on the big stage. So it's going to be exciting times coming up. We've just had Tracy Thompson on having a yarn. She's a retired Gillaroo herself, so one of the most capped, I think, but also an ambassador. So we were talking about the Murray Netball Carnival as well as the Little Deadlies Olympics Day Out. Now, as an ambassador, you've been to a few events. What's been your favourite event so far in 2021?
My favourite event so far just been in the Deadly Olympics. We've had a few of the Olympians that have, you know, obviously been be a part of the Olympics this year, be a part of that event, which you had at the Nissan Arena, which is really good. So, you know, we've got a lot of the kids come out from schools through the, you know, Deadly Choices programs to be involved with some of the events that they had there. So they had, you know, volleyball, track and field. So it was, you know, a really good day out for not just, you know, the kids, but, you know, for the ambassadors and the staff members that are involved in the Deadly Choices program. So yeah, it's been like, you know, a really good event all around.
Yeah, I've seen some of the staff there, the Deadly Choices Races officers take on the young ones there at on the track and try and time and beat them. I think they're a bit, bit competitive there. Like, oh, you look like you're gonna pull a hammy running like that. You mob better stretch.
Yeah, that's right. I think another ambassador, Brandon Wakely, was like one of the fastest in the 20-minute sprints.
Ooh,
so obviously bringing out, you know, bringing out his competitiveness, which is good to see.
Hey, he can sprint and lift weights. How good?
Yeah, that's right. Well, he, you know, obviously with his with his event, he'd have to be very explosive. So he can definitely show that. In the 20-meter sprints.
Yeah, I play in the forward, so I always say to the backs, yeah, I can beat you in a 4-meter sprint. Don't you worry.
Don't you worry, yeah, exactly.
But,
off the mark.
Yeah, right. First 4 meters, I got you. But, you know, as a dad of young children, how important is it to see our, you know, after 2020, we didn't get our events out. It was a tough year, but... we were just talking to Kimberly and Tracy about how important and how our young ones get to make new connections and new friendships, particularly at these events here at Deadly Choices.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, I believe it's very important, especially for our young ones. I'm a father of daughters now, it's good to see them getting involved in these events, and they also play sports outside of the events as well. So, which is good to see. Like they're always active, obviously that's one of our Deadly Choices. You know, it's being physically active. Not just eating the healthy foods, but obviously being physically active as well.
Absolutely, and I think it's a great chance for them, for our community and our young ones to mingle with our ambassadors and just have a yarn and hear some great stories about, you know, healthy living and promoting those healthy lifestyles, as well as they get to, I guess, you know, you work in the partnership and QUT have Queensland University of Technology have come on board to partner with us to create this Murray Netball Carnival as well. And I think it gives a chance to open up discussions around university, around further education. How important are those partnerships to our community?
Yeah, it's very important. Like, you know, I work in the partnerships team now, and, you know, without the partnerships that we have, it wouldn't be a successful organisation. And, you know, with the partnership with QT, like, it's very important. You know, we tell the kids, with the Deadly Choices being, healthy eating and, being physically active, but it's also, going to school and making sure we get the best education, from school with our kids, and we always tell the kids when we go out, going to school every day is a daily choice, and when we talk about, with the sporting careers, we got all these deadly ambassadors from different sporting backgrounds, but and with their partnership with QT, it's showing them a different avenue, a different pathway. But they can, obviously go to university and get the qualifications needed to get a really good job.
Absolutely. Unfortunately, we don't get to be athletes forever.
After that career,
right, you got to make sure you're preparing and looking after your mind. And I think it's just about giving our mob the confidence to back themselves in spaces that they weren't aware of.
Yeah, well, and that's what I got. Touched on that with football. Football with sports not being around for. You only have like a certain amount of years, playing sport. Sooner or later, it's going to come to an end. Whether it's through, retiring or through injuries, and that's what we tell tell the kids. It's fair enough. You can have all the dreams in the world of being a successful athlete. But at the end of the day, you have to look after yourself and, making sure that they are doing some kind of studies, to prepare them for life after sport. So, yeah.
Yeah. Now, speaking of sports, I'm sure you've tuned into the Origin Game 1. We're both North Queenslanders there, and it was a bit rough to see footy up north experience that for the mob. But how did that feel?
Yeah. Well, all the hype around having the first state of origin up in Townsville. You know, obviously the first ever as well. You know, all the hype around was great, you know, and you know, obviously with the new stadium up there, it just made, well, to me it made sense to have, I guess, the first game up there, but obviously, you know, I feel like all the hype sort of went sort of downhill after that scoreline. yeah, but, you know, in saying that, like it was still really good to have the game up in North Queensland. I know, you know, again, it's like, you know, like myself and yourself, like we're proud North Queenslanders, and it was really good to have the game up there, albeit, you know, not the result that we wanted or we needed, but yeah, it was hopefully they can turn it around in for game two.
Yeah, well, there's a few new faces and a couple old ones. It's I was talking to Petro the other week about, you know, it's good to see Josh Papali back. A new face that I think there's been people having comments about is Reece Walsh. So he might bring that youthful kind of flair that we need to our team to bust the Blues line, I guess.
Yeah, well, that's right. I feel like it's really good having Josh Papali back. You know, I think he just brings that mongrel, and he's sort of, you know, sort of hard to bring down. But yeah, like having, you know, a player like Reece Walsh in the team, like I said, he just brings that youthfulness. And I feel like that's what we sort of lacked in the first game. And you know, I really hope that they sort of turn around. I'm not too sure what the scoreline will be, but I really hope that, you know, Queensland can compete with the likes of the New South Wales team. You know, New South Wales are really strong across the park, but you know, the history around Queensland is, you know, that, you know, just that never die attitude, never say die attitude. So hopefully they can bring that in game two.
Yeah, you can never, I always say you can never rule out a Queensland side. So fingers crossed for a better result. But before I let you go, we always get what everyone's deadly choices at the moment. I've been saying that mine is just trying to drink more water than I do coffee these days. The chillier weather is not helping. But what is your deadly choice right now?
Yeah, well, mine was the same thing, like with the water, you know, like we, you know, drink so much water during summer and not so much during the winter. But yeah, mine is to, you know, try and keep up that fluids throughout the day, even though I'm sitting at the office now, which is obviously a new role for me, but I try and, you know, drink at least sort of 2 or 3 bottles of water during the day. Just so I can get that fluid up. So.
Yeah, well, Deadly, thanks, BB, for calling in today, and hopefully we can get you back on soon.
You're listening to Deadly Choices Radio on 98.9 FM. With your host, Sinead Clements.
All right, you mob. So that was Brenton Bowen, one of our Deadly Choices ambassadors. And now we have Dr. Jonathan from Brisbane at Six, who's going to come on and give us a bit of an update about COVID-19. How you going, Dr. Jonathan?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Sinead. Thanks for having me.
Well, you know, it's been a bit quiet lately, but can you give us a little rundown on what's going on the COVID front?
Yeah, sure. So as probably people are keeping up with, we've had some down south, there have been some community cases which seem to be settling down way down south in Victoria. I mean, I understand that the border might be opening soon, which is good. New South Wales, I think they're still kind of working through those community cases and I guess haven't quite worked out the extent of that yet. So still some work going on down there in Sydney. In Brisbane, and we've got a couple of cases there, and at this stage things look like they should be able to be managed, and don't believe we've got many restrictions going on as a result of that. Just people encouraged to kind of check out the contact tracing locations on the Queensland Health website. It looks like that should be a pretty low risk situation that will get under control, which will be good.
Yeah, and you know, I know we had that little scare in Caloundra, but seems like Queensland has weathered the storm, kind of dodged a bullet once again. You know, next stage of, I guess, COVID right now is just making sure we get on top of our vaccine rollout, right?
Yeah, I think so. You know, this is a chance that we've got to step up and get vaccinated. Lots of people have been already in Australia and across the world, and I think, you know, there's some good confidence about what we know about the vaccine and safety profiles and how effective they are. And even some of the emerging variants that we're seeing across the globe with COVID. We sort of down south, there was the Delta and Kappa variants. So the vaccines are showing so far to be effective to most of those, which is good.
Yeah, no, and I think what I've heard in the community or just around the way is that, you know, we're always trying to look after our own body, but right now we've got to think of our most vulnerable and the community as a whole, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, we do know the vaccines are very good at protecting the person who's been vaccinated, but there's been good growing evidence that being vaccinated stops you from transmitting the virus to those around you as well. And there are some people who, for different medical reasons, can't be vaccinated, or, you know, if we want to give people the best protection possible, it's, you know, that we vaccinate as a family, as a community, to protect those who are either older or vulnerable with other medical conditions.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our time, and I think in history, to step up and make sure we roll the sleeves up and take the get the jab. But you know, for those who are a bit weary of the vaccines as well, still, where's the best place to go to get some information, some really credible information?
The health websites, the Department of Health, Commonwealth and Queensland Health, but definitely your local AMS, your GP, who knows you well and knows your health. I think have those discussions. Things do change a bit from week to week in terms of what vaccines are recommended for different ages, so it's important to kind of get that up-to-date information. People will be aware now that the Pfizer vaccine is the one recommended for those under 60 and AstraZeneca for over 60. Still very safe to have second dose, though, of AstraZeneca if you've already had your first dose. I'm in that boat. I had that. You know, if you've got concerns about it, have the discussion, start the discussion. And even if it doesn't mean you have the vaccine straight away, at least you have a think about it. Talk to your family about it too. I've heard some good stories about families kind of talking it over and then kind of going and doing it together as a group. You know, I think that's a great idea too, to support one another.
Social media is not the best place to go to right now. So, you know, obviously the health websites and your local GP are the best people to talk to or even get information from. It's time is now to step up, eh?
Yeah, absolutely. And just remind people, the GP respiratory clinics that the AMSs are running across the southeast Queensland will be getting the Pfizer vaccine over the coming weeks. One of them's already got it down in Logan, but the others will be getting as well, and hopefully the other regular clinics over probably the next, might take a month or two for them to be able to roll that out. But, you know, that's for, as I said before, anyone under the age of 60, that's the sort of vaccine. So it might take just a bit of time for some of that supply to build back up and get that access. But, you know, be ready to roll up your sleeve when that happens.
You can find your local AMS on www.deadlychoices.com.au. But thank you, Dr. Jonathan, for coming on, and we'll let you get back to saving lives, hey?
Thanks, Sinead. Have a good one.
All right. So if you were just tuning in, that was Dr. Jonathan from Brisbane at 6, who just gave us a bit of a COVID update. So it's always great that we keep on top of that and make sure that we're doing the right thing by our community. And now we're going to go to a little banger, and I'm sure it needs no introduction. So we'll catch you after this deadly song.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns blue. There's a rundown bar across the railroad track. I got a table for two way in the back, where I sit alone, think of losing you. I spend most every night beneath the light of a neon moon. Now if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely. Go watch your broken dreams dancing out of the beams of a neon moon. I think of two young lovers running wild and free.
close my eyes and sometimes see you in the shadows of this smoke-filled room. No telling how many tears I've sat here and cried, or how many lies that I've lied, telling my poor heart she'll come back someday. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for the lonely to watch your broken dreams dancing out of the dreams of a neon moon. A sad song seems to say what I think, and it's heard inside of me. Ain't never gonna end. Oh, but I'll be alright as long as there's light from a neon moon. Oh, if you lose your one and only, there's always room here for.
Doesn't love a little bit of Neon Moon from Brooks and Dunns? So remember to keep up to date with any of our activities, to be involved in any of our events coming up. You have to be up to date with your 715 health check. So if you need a health check, make sure you head to our website, www.deadlychoices.com.au, and find out where your local clinic is, and you can give them a call and get your health check, and as well get your Deadly Choices 2021 shirt, so you can be styling up in that as well. As I mentioned earlier in the show today, that we have many live podcasts, live sessions on our Facebook page still. So there's yarns around Pearls of Wisdom, Good Quick Tucker for any sort of new recipes that you want to add to the kitchen. Deadly Kindies playgroups to tide them jarjums out. DC Fit, that you can get that exercise even in your lounge room. So make sure you go to our Facebook page to check out any of the things we've talked about today and any of our live sessions we've done previously and upcoming. Like I mentioned with Dr. Jonathan, the respiratory testing clinics are still open. So if you're experiencing any COVID-19 symptoms, no matter how mild, make sure you call your clinic. It's for the best for yourself and for your family and for your community. And go get tested. So as I mentioned, there's a lot of things running on our Facebook page at the moment. We're in the midst of, I guess, Origin, which is my favorite time of the year. And we have our Deadly Maroons and Deadly Blues competition. Yeah, keep an eye out for all things that's going on Facebook there. So as we yarned about today, there's so many events going on, some exciting stuff coming up. And, you know, it's always important to get out and get connected with community. But that's us for today on 98.9 FM for the best country. This is the Deadly Choices show. And I'm your girl, Shanae. Keep making those deadly choices, you mob, and we'll see you next Wednesday night.
Deadly Choices Radio. A show encouraging mob to make healthy choices, from stop smoking, eating good food, exercising daily, and getting a health check for themselves and their family. Featuring Deadly Choices ambassadors, the Healthy Lifestyle Mob, and many more. So tune in to Deadly Choices after 6 p.m. each Wednesday and on demand at 989fm.com.au.
This Deadly Choices Radio podcast is sponsored by Deadly Choices, A deadly choice is a healthy choice.